Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. Because if you look back, if you go back and listen, I ponder on this quite often. I ponder on the moves, the powerful moves of God in the past, and men and women that God has used, and obviously God partnered with them, you know, or they partnered with God to do something. So you want to look at what did they say? What was their message? What did they tell mankind?
Mm-hmm.
And it's nothing like today.
Right.
I look, and there's it's this thing about people who change the doctrine of God and for doctrines of men. They're good speakers. They're really good orators. They have ability to get a crowd and have ability to make things seem just tickles your flesh. It makes, because, you know, if we live our life trying to make our flesh comfortable, when somebody tells us about a God who's all about our flesh and making our flesh comfortable and giving us some sort of blanket grace that we can send, then somebody who's flesh driven just buys into that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh my goodness, I didn't know that God was of the flesh.
Right.
You know? And
I can have that too.
Yeah. They would think these guys are insane. They would think that Jonathan Edwards had lost his mind. And many
Leonard
did.
Ravenhill.
Leonard Ravenhill, who would ride a bus, sleep in a tent, and spend all night with one convert to make sure he got it.
Mm-hmm.
People that would, Amy Semple McPherson, and people that would get in their cars, you know, their model almost just invented car, and drive across the town with a tent. Not a big tent, a little small little pop-up tent that she could sleep in while she was going to another place, in hopes that she could preach the gospel, or going down into the streets and standing on a chair so people would just be attracted and look around, and then she would grab the chair and run up into a particular place, and people would run after her, and then people would close the doors behind her, and people would be locked in there, and she started preaching the gospel. Bam, bam. You know, people got saved, and that's where the Angelus Theater comes from in L.A. Mm-hmm. and all the things that are happening. It comes from her ministry. She was the first Christian female, or female, period, I believe, that owned a radio station in America. Just all these things, and it's like, these messages would not even, and it's like, has God changed or have we changed?
Mm-hmm.
Has God, have all these guys, is it sort of like God's going, you know, that was in black and white, today we're in color. You know, that was back then when they didn't have Google.
Mm.
There's a play out right now. The play out right now, I can't get a chance to check on anything about it, but just the title of it totally just confirms what we've been saying all along. It's called Google God.
Oh, wow.
Google God.
Really?
Yeah, and tomorrow we're going to be talking to you about how the goal of these corporations, that's what they are, businesses, are to integrate their product with your body, to integrate it so that you can have more knowledge. And we're going to talk about the quest for knowledge is not the same as the quest for the knowledge of God. Many people are saying, well, God wants you to have knowledge. No, God wants you to have a knowledge of God.
Right.
And with the knowledge of God, all things come to you that you need. But a man's quest for knowledge outside of the knowledge of God is what puffs up a man. And so we have all this knowledge just being piled on top of us, more stuff than I want to know.
Mm-hmm.
And people are running to Google instead of running to God.
Mm.
It doesn't cross their mind. They say, what do you think we should do? I don't know. Did you Google it yet?
Mm.
It used to be, did you pray yet?
Right.
Did you pray? It's like, well, we can't hear from God anymore. So we just go to the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And it just, like, oh my goodness.
Wow.
Mm. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yes.
And we just kind of lullaby ourselves to sleep and find out, oh my goodness, what are we doing? And somebody says, you're insane. What are you doing? Saying that we need to turn from that. And don't you understand how the culture is today? It sounds like all the prophets of the past, don't it?
Yeah.
Put your shoes on. Put your clothes on. What you doing? Ooh. Eating dung by the fire? Why are you doing cutting up the prostitute and scattering everybody around? All this crazy. It's crazy. They lost their minds. It's like, you know, this is the big thing the Lord showed me. He showed me very specifically. And I shared this with somebody. And one of the things that he showed me was that a hole was being dug in the wall. A hole was being dug in the wall. And everything was being moved out, like luggage and that type of thing.
Mm.
And God showed me a prophet. He had a prophet do that. And the prophet was doing that to symbolize to all of God's people that, you know, judgment's coming that your walls are about to be, have been broken into and that type of thing. So the prophet dug his way out of the wall. And of course, somebody told me, nah, that couldn't be. And of course, since then, everything's fallen apart. And including them. Anyway, so it's, you got to understand that, that God hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's a holy God. And, you know, me personally, I feel like, Lord, I need more covenant with my life in this age that we live in.
That's right.
It's just so dirty. It's just dirty, the way that things are done.
Absolutely. You know, and everywhere you go, you see sin and you see just God's standard just being eroded. Even on public, just television, just watching anything, even the commercials. And it's like, you know what? We're going to have to be more engaged as believers. We're going to have to be more engaged in our walk with God. And I love what you said about, you know, covenanting with, making a covenant with God even more during the time that we live in, to say, God, you know what? I just want to make sure that I am where I need to be with you. And I want to be sold out with you. And I want to be in a place where I'm honoring you in every area of my life. And making sure that I am living, you know, the way that you want me to live. And not just, we're just talking about not every day just a walk. We're just talking about, you know, staying hot, staying on fire for the Lord, staying in the place of miracles, staying in the place where we're chasing hard after him and seeking his face and not just looking at the things that are happening around in this world.
Well, the whole thing is, did he change or did he not change? And if he did change, why did he hold people in our past such to high standards, and now he's got low standards for us? And that, and it's, we've gone so far that we have to ask ourselves, if we go back 10 steps, are we still in darkness? You know, if we radically change our lives, you know, are we still in darkness? I'll tell you what, the generation that I'm talking about, you know, Azusa Street, Charles Seymour, I'm talking about John G. Lake, I'm talking about, you know, others that have gone before us, they would look at, they would wonder, this is what they would wonder. I mean, Jonathan Edwards, they would wonder if anybody in today's professed church even knew God.
That's right.
Don't you think so?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, the things that they considered wrong before God and unholy and compromising and friendship with the world. And I mean, when the church first came to America, I mean, the Bible was their rule.
That's right.
And now all of a sudden the church has slid into now the world's laws are our rules and the Bible is optional. And so they would excommunicate people from their city who were doing things that was bringing, you know, danger into their city. I mean, it was serious stuff they would do.
Jonathan Edwards would have this declaration. He would say, "I resolve never to do anything which I would be ashamed to do if it was the last hour of my life." He's like, where has that gone?
Yeah, and the whole, and the thing is, with that, you say, well, if I do that, if I make those kind of decisions and make a covenant, then I'm going to lose a lot of relationships with people who choose not to make those covenants. Or or people are going to take on a religious spirit, and when they're around you, they'll act like they made the covenant, but in their tents, they're still living for the world. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
And so you end up creating this, you know, this huge storm, but that's what Jesus did. Jesus said, you know, that, and the thing about it, it's not about, and it, you know, if I was going to fail, I'd fail on the side of wanting to obey God, wanting to do what was right and works. I mean, you want to actually work. You want to have fruit, you know, and that means fruit. Not, you're not saved by works. But don't get so carried away with a message today that says, you know, that you don't have to do, you just say a prayer. And it's like, really? That's like saying that your wife, all she had to do was say, "I do," and nothing else the rest of your marriage, and you're going to have
hello.
One. And she looks at you and she says, "Honey, we're married by grace." And you would say, "I don't think so, honey."
That's
because
right.
It's about a relationship. The thing about it, if you did make a choice to marry me, you know, 2 years ago, 10 years ago, then there would be fruit in our marriage, in our life, that you wanted to be married to me. You're doing things not because you're earning something. It's because you made a decision the day we got married that you're going to be my wife. That's just a no-brainer. But when it comes to God, how do people go like, "I don't understand, you know, why does he want me to be loyal to him? And why is he upset that I'm cheating on him and having other gods?" And And why does he really mind that 97% of us are robbing him? Come on. I mean, you know, and you know, plain as day, if your wife was robbing you, you know, and, mm-hmm. and stealing from you, you'd be upset. You'd go, she'd go, oh, listen, it's Grace, honey. It's Grace. It's like, yeah, right. Listen here, Gracie.
Right.
Go get the family money and bring it back in here, right?
Right here.
It's just a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to God, people get blurry. It's like, come on. I'm thinking about, I've been pondering this. You know, has God changed or have we changed?
Mm.
Now, I can tell you this, the way that the enemy delivers darkness has changed. The way that he's able to creep. And there was a day that you have to go buy something that was sinful. Today, they deliver it to your door. They bring it to you virtually. I mean, the enemy's trying every way he can to just infiltrate every individual life on the face of the earth. You have parents trying to raise their children, and yet their children are, you know, saying, listen, I need a cell phone, or you have fearful parents saying, I need to buy you a cell phone. And all of a sudden, the second they get a cell phone, they're connected and integrated with the entire world system, despite you parenting them or not.
That's right.
Anybody can communicate to them. You don't have to know what's going on. They can go out and virtually do this stuff and communicate and whatever. And it's like the enemy's trying to have a direct contact with everyone, where God desires a direct personal relationship with you. The enemy can't do it outside of manipulation, control, and mm-hmm. technology and all that. But God, there's a thing called a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, where every day you walk and you pray and you talk to him, and nobody knows about that relationship really but you and him, and mm-hmm. they know you have this relationship by your fruit. Well, now you got this whole thing going on in darkness, where people are having this relationship in darkness with technology, and they're getting around, and it's like nobody knows this of God, that you have this relationship with darkness,
mm-hmm.
but they know you're having it by your fruit, mm-hmm. what's happening in your life or what's not happening in your life. And it's just like, oh, my goodness, there's a counterfeit to it. It's just a counterfeit to what's going on. We have to make up our mind. You know, a quest for knowledge or a quest for knowledge of God.
Mm.
When people say, well, I don't need that much of God. And it's like we've settled for the knowledge. We're resting on the fact that we know enough to get us through this.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.